You are looking at a traveler who just bought a ticket for a very special kind of a trip. The cost? A few dollars. And his mind.
Do you like music?
It's rich. It's alive. It's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame. Fortune. Platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Yes, yes, y'all. Hey, we're back. This is Chris by Cut. You're listening to Cut by Cut Podcast. And it's episode 47. We are in the midst of season 4. Our Paul's Critique season, with track number 7 off the album Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys, 3 Minute Rule. And I'm here by my with my main man,
Spanky
Sound Carlson.
Yep, that's right. It's me, Spanky.
Oh, I almost made it without choking on words.
I know, that was pretty good, considering.
Considering?
I think that, we're saying Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys. It's a tough thing to do without getting all of those mic pops in there, because you want to speak into the mic, but at the same time you're sending all this air at the poor microphone, and it's you can almost see it trying to dodge and bob and weave. That's why I've got this kind of side mouth thing that I'm doing.
Yeah, I kind of got a side thing going too.
Yeah, I'm just kind of leaning into it.
Yeah, leaning it in all
the time.
Yeah,
it's my gangsta lean.
Yeah.
So here we are at 3 Minute Rule. Do you want to? You start. You tell us a little bit about it if you want to.
Well, this song, after doing some, they let us down a little bit with the last. By letting us down, I mean they let us relax.
Emotionally, they let us down.
They let us relax.
It's okay. You
and then
can
they came
say
at
you are.
Again full force, right? Let us down. They let us down emotionally, and then bang, they're back in your face.
Yep.
And then this one goes right into. I think this song, right or wrong, epitomizes what people perceived about the Beastie Boys. There's a lot of it gets a little angry in there, right? They're making some violence references. They talk about some guns to your neck, right?
Oh yeah.
They're not as kind to the ladies with some of the lyrics in here. It does have a feeling of being targeted towards a specific persons, maybe.
Yep.
But it's not as aggressive, I'll say, tempo wise but it's certainly got some vitriol behind the lyrics. So
this reminds me, the start of this, with that line about, I stay up all night, I go to sleep watching Dragnet. If we were to take the Star Wars ring theory, right, the idea that the prequels are basically a backwards telling of the original series that we all know and love, if we were to try, I think that there's some lineups with License to Ill and Paul's Boutique.
Sure.
So this starts with, I go to sleep all night, or I stay up all night, I go to sleep watching Dragnet, never sleep alone because Jimmy is the magnet. I love the idea that he's named his penis Jimmy. I'm going to flat out tell you.
A little too on the nose.
Yeah, if you have people who are going to be offended by words like motherfucker or Jimmy or dick, this is not the episode for you.
Right.
You should probably just walk away.
Yeah.
Because if we look at the new style from License to Ill, right, there's a moment where he talks about, having sex and condoms. And it's like, I met a girl at a party and she started to flirt. I told her some rhymes and she pulled up her skirt. Spent some money at the bank. I got high-powered jumbo. Rolled up a woolly and I watched Columbo, right? So we have these two classic cop shows.
Yeah, sure.
Now, Columbo was fantastic and Dragnet was fantastic, but none of them have really survived the test of time.
Right.
They're not things that I would think to woo a woman with.
Well, even in the late 80s, 90s, when they tried to bring some of them back, they did so in a parody sense of way. Like, they had a Dragnet movie.
Oh, yeah, with Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks.
Right, you know what I mean? So certainly not right off the top with those two billing characters at that point in Tom Hanks' career, and then Dan Aykroyd, you're not taking it serious, right?
It's not. Right.
serious noir of any kind.
No.
Dan Aykroyd is your
but the original Dragnet series was all about like cop. It was one of the first cop procedurals where you were supposed to take it seriously.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, they were doing the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
But then he goes into I'm So Rope, They Call Me Mr. Roper from Three's Company.
Yep, yep.
And I like that the next two things we get are Three's Company and My Gang, right? Yep. So if you think about it in terms of they see themselves as essentially Jack Ripper or Jack Tripper and the girls, that always bothered me, by the way, that Jack the Ripper, Jack T. Ripper, Jack Tripper.
Okay.
So the name of this British, because Three's Company was originally a British show.
Yep.
So they've named their main character Jack the Ripper.
And was there an allusion there?
I don't know, but I mean Jack Tripper is. I mean, how do you not see it as Jack T. Ripper?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Not disagreeing with
like
you.
It's just you know, somebody thought of this name, right? Nobody was just like, oh, let me just call him this.
Yeah.
No, this is you're committed to however many seasons you build this name. But I was going to look it up before the show because I wanted to see if there was any connection between Chrissy and Janet. And the women he murdered. I don't know enough about Ripper lore to tell you about the prostitutes or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was pretty hilarious connection there. If only paper thin.
Right. Well, yeah, right.
So, yeah. So then there's a Yankees reference and an R gang, Little Rascals.
Yep. Spanky.
Yeah, exactly. Getting over on Miss Crabtree like my main man, Spanky. I don't think anyone has ever referred to Spanky as my main man.
Well, right.
No, you know what? I'm confusing him with Alfalfa.
Maybe, but well,
because Spanky was he was the boss of that show. He was clearly the leader.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, little, you know, pugnacious. Rotund little character.
Right, so you were lining him up with Alfalfa, but
yeah, I was thinking Alfalfa the whole time.
Well, either way,
yeah,
they've done something again. So they've taken a kid, and you know, making him get one over on Mrs. Roper. You know, I was thinking for a second there that we were going somewhere inappropriate, but
maybe no. That's like getting over on Miss Crabtree is not having sex with her. That was a very special My Gang episode when Mrs. Crabtree asked Spanky to stay after. Went totally different. Right. That was the prequel, How He Earned His Nickname.
Yes.
I feel like I'm on a government watch list for having made that joke now.
That's my bad. We mixed up a couple like topics of conversation there and.
But I mean, I love how it takes them an entire stanza for him to basically say, "I got laid."
Right.
Right. What is the line? I got lucky, brought home some kitten. Before I got busy, I slipped on the mitten.
Yeah.
What does your penis look like, dude, that you're slipping on the mitten? Is it? It's really wide with a thumb? How does this work? I'm not quite sure. But this does have some of my, you're right, it has very, very angry lines in it, but there's some of my all-time favorite angry lines. Like, roses are red, the skies are blue, I got my barrel at your neck, so what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah.
I love rhetorical statements in songs. Like, Dag Nasty has...
Oh, they can't answer that line, right? What are you going to do?
Right, Dag Nasty has one like, so what are you going to do? And you know, I'm like, yeah, god damn it. Yes, like that's a call to action, and this is more real violence than High Plains Drifter. High Plains Drifter is farcical. It's
yeah, well, that, and again, they're I always thought from the beginning they're describing acts of you know violence about holding up in that song in High Plains Drifter. We talked about it holding up like convenience stores, but then they're taking the money and going and like. Watching porn with it or something.
Right, yeah.
And it, so that always had this kind of like, yeah, satire or farcical intention behind it, you know?
Yeah, and this one seems very much more.
Well, they're actually playing the tough guy in a couple moments or actually taking this, like, I'm so angry with her that I'm going to say these things.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Or people come up to me and they try to talk shit, man. I was making records when you were sucking your mother's dick.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I used that. Once I quoted that during a game of Games of War Gears of War, rather.
Oh, nice.
I remember the night specifically. You and I were playing. We had...
Oh, I was even there for this.
There was you, me, Women Be Tripping. and we were playing with a kid for a long time from New Zealand. Okay. I don't know if you remember this at all.
I do not.
And we must have played like 2 or 3 weeks matching up with this kid.
Okay.
And he was kind of obnoxious.
Did he speak?
Oh, yeah. In a New Zealandese accent.
Okay.
New Zealander accent. He sounded like an elf from Lord of the Rings. Anyway.
Oh, my.
And we were going back and forth saying stuff. And it kept escalating. And he said something to me. And I said, "Do you suck your mother's dick with that mouth?" And thinking I was making a clever Beastie Boy. And the next thing I know, I get this, like, he drops from the game, and I get this, this message from Xbox, like, "You're in Xbox jail for the next, like, 2 weeks," and I couldn't play. And I remember it because it was that, it must have been Gears 1 or 2, where there was the high-speed train that would go past.
Sure, yeah.
And you could run under the tunnel.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I remember the map well, yeah.
So I was running down the stairs when I said it because Hannah... my ex-wife was with us at the time, and no, it must have been Erica, my other ex-wife, who
I'm laughing as a listener
was in absolute shock
that you said what you said.
Yeah, we were both smokers at the time, and so I used to smoke and play Gears all the time, and you could always tell when I wasn't doing well in the game because that would be of lighting a new cigarette, and I looked at her, and she just had this look on my face like, "My God. What have I married? You're a monster." Like just the cigarette, like very Dan Aykroyd Ghostbusters hanging out of her mouth kind of thing of just, this isn't fun.
You're right.
You know? And so I think Xbox probably did me a favor. But it hurt her more.
Time out.
What hurt her more because she was also playing like one of the Lego games at the time, so she couldn't get on and get some stuff. So it was kind of like the nuclear option as far as jokes go. Yeah.
I can see that.
That was a bad call.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah. I've learned, the person I am today is years of dumbass comments and stupid mistakes.
I'm going to say, one of the reasons I don't go back to Xbox to play multiplayer these days.
It's because people remember you as the guy who played with me?
No, but... I don't think the internet has that big of a history.
Xbox
Live has that big of a memory. But the internet does. Just like Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah.
But
I thank God I just never tweeted it.
You get on there and there are younger people, you know, and as I get up there, you know, a little older where now there's no two ways about it. I am an adult.
Yeah.
And you get on there and there are the
children.
The young kids stay the same age, right? So you're... And the things they say, and you're like, I can't respond to this because I might go to jail for the things I want to say, you know?
Do you...
Or if I said these in the presence of human beings, like...
So I tried to clean up my act when I came back to Xbox. I really made an effort. And I came back, and I had a student who was graduating who was on me, like, you know, we should play Gears. Do you even remember this?
I do. I think I recall this because we had to talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, and I was like, "Hey guys, is it okay if this kid plays with us?" And everyone was like, "Yeah, sure." And I think Nick had some ex-students who were also on Xbox. And so I let this kid on. And again, I remember we were playing Gears, and it was the map. It must have been Gears 1 or Gears 2. Is the map with the two bridges and the river underneath it.
I don't remember that.
And... You know, you have to try to fight for the bridges. Now I want to play Gears. But he kept singing...
You know what'll solve that? Go play Gears.
Yeah, exactly. He kept singing some Bob Marley song, and he was like, the line was, "Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Stole I from the, you know, stole I from the whatever ship." And he kept saying, "Old pirate is a rabbi." And I think Nick was like,
that's a great, like, misheard lyric.
Yeah, he's like, hey, man, that's not the lyric. And the kid was like, yeah, no, it is. And who else was playing with us at that time? Women Be Shopping. Maybe. Or...
we had Zombie Haymaker. Rockwell. Yeah, Zombie Haymaker.
Yeah, Zombie Haymaker. Somebody was like, "Hey, man, it's really, stop it. You're bothering us all. It's the wrong lyric." And this kid got to the point where he was defiantly ignorant and trying to defend this misheard comment, and everybody, I think, like, messaged me as the game was going on, like, boot this kid, get rid of him now. Yeah, right. And I think that was the last time I ever even bothered.
Yeah. I remember having a conversation like, no more students, okay?
Yeah. And that was, you know, it was kind of thing, like, I remember talking to everybody at first.
Well, I also, like, I'm pretty good at putting a pin in, like, saying anything. Yeah. I always was, but then you get to that point where I'm like, this has got to end.
Oh, so, yeah.
Like, I would just go...
Oh, that was the worst. Yeah, never again.
So, and I didn't want to be the... I didn't want you to be losing your job because your buddy...
Yeah, exactly.
...was on there bad-mouthing students.
Because a bunch of adults beat up a kid who couldn't quote Bob Marley right. So, should we start the show?
Thank you for joining us for that Xbox corner.
That was
now back to
Cursive Critique. Now we're on to Paul's Boutique Critique.
We were pretty deep into the possible women hating in this song, I think.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to real quick before we get to the women hating in the third act of this song, if you will. Do you know what the 3-minute rule is?
I don't. That was going to be one of my questions. What is the 3-minute rule?
Well, my whole life, I had assumed that the 3-minute rule was how long food can stay on the floor before it's inedible.
I believe that is the 5-second rule.
Yeah, I grew up in a much looser house. If food was out, it could be eaten.
I can just imagine the awkward silence when you drop your slice of pizza topside down.
Yep.
And then you go and you stare at it for 2 minutes.
Oh, are you kidding? I go to the fridge, get another soda, go to the bathroom. A little timer going, a little leg timer. No, 3-minute rule is how you judge distance for nautical navigation.
Okay.
There's the 3 and the 6-minute rule.
Okay.
How that connects here?
No one will ever know.
Not quite sure. But more importantly, this song is 3 minutes and 39 seconds
I was wondering if it's like just how long you make a song. Yeah.
Yeah, well, most pop songs are 3 minutes because when you are looking at a clock on a radio or for radio broadcasting, your show would start at, let's say, 1 o'clock.
Yep.
At 15 minutes, you have to do station identification and PSA at half an hour mark, station ID, and then station ID, PSA, or advertisement.
Yep.
So 3-minute rule works out nice because you can get 5 songs wedged into that pizza slice.
Sure.
Before you have to take a break. So the 3-minute rule would be for a pop song, 3 minutes long.
I would never make it because I'd be the one playing an 8-minute song.
Well, we used to do that at the radio station when we had to go to the bathroom. Yeah, yeah. You'd put on like Hurricane by Bob Dylan, which is incidentally one of the few songs that the FCC would not fine us for having a swear in.
Oh, really?
And I think it was because they always knew that when that came on, your DJ was going to take a dump. Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
In the days before cell phones, you'd be staring at your watch like, I can do this, I can do this.
We're holding up a sign, play Bob Dylan next.
Yeah, exactly. Hurricane, you know, you'd always be listening to these like punk shows, you know, it's like, you know, that was Reagan Youth, and before that was X, and before that was like, you know, the Dead Boys. Here's Bob Dylan's Hurricane. I've played 82 songs in the last 15 minutes, but here's a 12-minute song for you. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and you'd have to like these defenses of Bob Dylan's wicked punk rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is humorous because, right, the second stanza you get this line, a lot of parents like to think I'm a villain. I'm just chilling like Bob Dylan.
Like Bob Dylan, yeah.
They catch some
slack for even comparing themselves to...
Oh, did they really?
I think so, yeah.
So you made that up?
No, it's a part of the 33 and a third Paul's Boutique by Mr. Dan Leroy that we reference from time to time.
It is. Yeah, those are a great series of books, by the way. And they have an open submission policy. You could, when the time comes, you could submit your idea for a book to 33 and a third. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Awkward silence.
Okay. Awkward silence.
Always a plus.
See, I always enjoy the awkward silence because it might make other people feel a little awkward, and that's okay.
The line, I run things like some Mac motherfucker, I always also misunderstood as, and of course it's funny that I just made up like screaming at this one kid for screwing up this line, but I always knew it was wrong, but I accepted it as right because I always wanted it to be say, I run things like Slack motherfucker, which... I used to then attribute to the Superchunk song, Slack Motherfucker, Okay. Do you know the song?
I do not.
Oh man, it's pretty solid. I'm gonna just look it up right now, and then the T on my computer is actually broken.
Well, they do have the word slack in the song, so yeah. So it might have attributed.
Yeah, but I don't even think these two songs came out at the same, like, remotely. I think Slack Motherfucker came out after Paul's Boutique.
We'll enjoy the song, folks.
Oh, such an awesome song.
Can I just say I love that style of discordant, like, rock.
Oh, Superchunk were fantastic.
Yes,
yeah. You know the song?
The vocals with that kind of that reverb-y effect to it, but then it's blending into the background.
Yep.
You almost can't separate it from the music at times.
Did you ever see the movie Zombieland?
Yes.
I hate
that. That was the one with all the rules about zombies?
Yes.
And then they proceed to break them all?
I hate that movie with a passion. And I know that people love it for whatever reason, but I don't. But it helped me form a thesis that you know your movie sucks when you take time out in the middle of your movie to show a better movie.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Like, they take, like, a good 30 seconds and show you Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Unapologetically. Like, here's Ghostbusters on the screen.
But that was when they go into the theater, right? And they have a cameo? Was that that? Or is that...
Bill Murray is in it, and I think he's watching it at home.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
Right. So, any film that does that, I'm like, oh, I'm watching a piece of shit. Like, knowingly, these people wrote a terrible film. And I just saw something the other night that I actually kind of liked. And I was like, oh my God, they just did that. And my rule stands fast. It is the one rule in my life, one of my few rules where I will not budge.
So even if it's a good movie, by doing that, you subjugate yourself to the ranks.
To have to accept it, that it sucks. Like, so... There are a couple of exceptions that prove the rule. One of them being, it's a Tim Robbins film. But anyway, you know a song isn't good when you take time out of talking about that song to spend more time talking about an unrelated song that's not even like, well, they say motherfucker, and they say Mac, which rhymes with slack, and then at some point they say super, which is the first part of Superchunk. So let's take the next few moments and talk about Superchunk, shall we? Superchunk were a fantastic band from the American South. They founded Merge Records. The drummer, John Worster, now plays for the Mountain Goats and several other bands.
That's right, I forgot about John Worster, yeah.
Yep.
I didn't forget about John Worster, I just forgot that he was in that band.
Yeah. Never forget John Worster. A true American hero.
Yeah.
And drummer.
Classic.
Of the gods.
Drummer of the gods.
Exactly.
What I was going to give you, maybe, I was going to allow you some subconscious credit in that they have another line that we have referenced together, which is, you slipped your slack, you cock me, and you're whack.
Yes.
So I was just going to say, the word slack is in their vocabulary in this song.
Right, right.
So the fact that you would slip it into, you know, another part of the song.
So if you can find Chunk, we're good.
No, not quite that far.
I think, and then that leads to while I'm reading On the Road by my man Jack Kerouac, which is a perfect person to allude to here, because Kerouac also really hated, it was like really terrible to women.
Yeah.
And again, I always think that they know the people that they're calling on.
I mean, they know, they're calling on him because...
Because of his...
Like they know him?
Conflicted like they, relationship okay. with women, right. Yes.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, like when you get that, I smoke Chiba, helps me with my brain, I might be a little dusted, but I'm not insane. That follows Bob Dylan, because it was Dylan, and again, this is all just making it up for the show, but Dylan was the one who got the Beatles hooked on weed and LSD.
Okay.
Yeah, and was like, you know, so I'm giving them a ton of credit, but I really do believe in the case of the Beasties, it's earned.
Which part?
These earned? These strange, you know, these really loose connections.
Oh, okay.
I feel like they weren't just putting words together. Their knowledge is so deep that
validated. Jack Kerouac being prolific enough, but just that he came up in their mind as someone to rhyme, you think they didn't just plug it in because it rhymed. They know there's a reason for it.
Yeah, I think they knew he was a douchebag and he was a terrible human being and he was really awful to women. So
I think I want to give, you know, just in everything I've consumed about the Beastie Boys, I want to give them that credit.
Yeah.
Because I don't hear anything or see anything or read anything that, like, Jack Kerouac has documented incidents that, like, in the public...
Yeah.
That explain why people think that of him. He did this, he said this,
yeah,
and so on, right? Police reports or whatever it is, right? And the Beastie Boys don't have those things, right? Like, they don't...
They
were young kids, and they have no other, in a lot of ways, as their discography grew and they matured over the years, their songs, they just started leaving off.
Yeah, but in the 90s, you would have said they're just boys being boys. Well, and it would have had the same implications as 2018. Now when we say it, we're speaking about people like Kavanaugh. And we're saying that that's a totally negative thing. Back then, it would have been, we expect these guys to be rowdy and womanizing.
I was going to say is they don't have any other defense. And they know now that, if with hindsight, they wouldn't have done certain things.
Right? Yeah.
But... hindsight being what it is, in the moment they were just young, dumb, youth.
Yes,
you know, acting ignorantly. So, I don't think I've never heard them come to any defense other than, well, we were young and we really didn't know any better, and we had a ton of money.
Yep.
And so how do we make up for that? Guess what? We just don't play that song live anymore, and we've moved on.
I know there was some controversy because there was a box set, like a Beastie's retrospective box set that they put together, and the Paul's Boutique stuff was, if I recall right, conspicuously missing from that. And people were furious. People were like, what the hell? And they were like, that's not a, like, we have to include Licensed Ill because that's what started us.
Right.
We don't have to include Paul's Boutique. But now when we get into, was it Check Your Head that came next? Which was...
Next is Hey Ladies.
I mean, the album-wise. You know, they start to come back and say things like, you know, I don't smoke weed anymore and I don't do these things. They have a song called Namaste, and they start getting into vegetarianism and Buddhism and, you know, like, they really go out of their way to recognize that they were shitheads and make up for it. And I think that to me has earned them all kinds of graces to be able to say, look, this is who we were. This is who we are. We own both of those things.
Yeah. Yep.
We're not, you know.
We got here by
being that, but that was young in the time.
Yep.
You know, you give you give three kids a couple million dollars and set them loose. I think anybody's gonna be a jerk.
Right. one of the I had this following excerpt I wanted to read from the 33 and a third book on Paul's Boutique, and it says. The rhymes never reached the level of the two most famous writers cited, Jack Kerouac and Bob Dylan, who both had a better knack for such breakneck lyric bric-a-brac. I thought it was funny, first of all, that he rhymed in the book. But they do provide an effective 3-minute cliff note version of the disc. So he's suggesting that this album kind of sums up as a microcosm of the disc itself, which I thought was pretty accurate, which is what I was referencing before. Lastly, the most intriguing couplets, however, belong to Adam Horowitz. The female object of his ire is not identified, but the references to her agent and promotional glossies suggest his sneering rhymes may have been directed to an actress girlfriend. Matt Dyke, one of was he the producer?
Matt Dyke was, yeah.
Of the involved in making of Paul's Boutique, noted they were really disgusted with a lot of these Hollywood chicks. So clearly there's some experience they're having. And
I think he was dating Molly Ringwald at the time.
They don't reference who in the book it might be, but...
Yeah, yeah, for legal reasons. Unlike me. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're a dog on a leash like a pig in a pen. Mothership Connection, good call out to Parliament and P-Funk, by the way. Getting Girls Affection, If Your Life Needs Correction, Don't Follow My Direction. Like, even then they're saying, like, we're not going the right way about this. Yeah. We're on the wrong track, kids, not your role models. You got your 8x10, your agent, your Harley. You'll be driving around Hollywood, so sorry, Charlie. good old reference to Charlie the Tuna there. And, of course, you know, it's just a pretty angry little ditty all in all. And I think that that's pretty much what I have to say about it. Like, it's not my favorite track on the album by any stretch of the imagination. I think for a 3-minute rule, I'll give it a 1 minute.
1 minute.
Rating.
One out of three.
Yeah, I think it's a weak point, and maybe it's because of that anger. But those angry lines that do exist, like you I quote. Said, I quote with, in my at 44, I quote with a relative frequency. So
less out loud, more internal now?
Yeah, oh, almost all internal now, yeah. I don't want to get banned from the Xbox of life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
So do you, what's your take on this one?
I get uncomfortable a lot of times with the angry lyrics like this, like directed at females or whatever. So it kind of takes me out of the song.
Yeah.
And that's just where I'm at in general.
Yeah, it's got some great.
This would be a good example of why I'm not a Beastie Boys fan. Like,
sure.
Like it's this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just
it jump and turn styles never pay the toll. Like your boyfriend doesn't know about me and your mother. Like I guess the reason why the song appeals to me is when I get pushed, I become sort of the nuclear option. I go nuclear option with my comebacks. And I feel like a lot of this song is made up of nuclear options.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from some of the things said.
Even in the song, so when you're listening to it, I know one thing that always, if you don't listen to this for a while,
yeah.
And you put it on, Roses are the second verse starts.
Yeah, roses are red,
the sky is blue, I got my barrel at the neck, so what the fuck are you gonna do? And I'm just like, oh man, he just like it just kinda punches you in the nose.
Yep.
And you forget, because it doesn't necessarily open super hostile, you know. It talks about ladies looking hot inside their BMW and hooking up, right? Slipping up. Proud Mary is a turn and rolling like a ring ding. Jump the turn side of a pit, yep. Pit of toll. Customs jailed me over urban seed. Don't rat out your boy over some rat weed. So there, it's nothing that's like offensive, right? And then that second verse starts and it just.
Oh, yeah. The whole like, thing is just.
Oh, he just got angry.
You know? Phenomenal. But the music's playing.
Oh.
So you know what that means.
One thing we didn't know. Last one thing. We mentioned the bass line in the beginning, and this is actually a bass line that Adam Yauch wrote. So it's an original piece of music from them instead of just lyrics.
It's where we start to see the development of their next stage, right? Yeah. Getting back to that real, that they can write really solid, funky stuff.
Yeah.
So the music means it's time for us to end. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Another thrilling conclusion of Cut by Cut, Paul's Critique. We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll discuss whatever song comes next on the album.
Hey, ladies.
Oh, yeah. One of the, if not the, most classic Beastie Boys tracks. Hey, ladies in the place, calling out to you. Never was a city kid. Truer and truer. If you want to be true, like a city kid, you can send us a message at cutxcut@gmail.com.
cutxcutpodcast@gmail.com.
Don't correct me on air.
Don't correct
me. What you gonna do? I'm gonna get banned from Xbox.
Oh wait, it's not rhetorical.
Yeah.
You're sitting across from me.
Yeah. I'm gonna get banned from Xbox right now. So yeah, you can reach us at Radio Mutation, cutbycut.com, iTunes, leave a 5-star review if you think we're awesome. If you don't like the cuss words, oops. And
try again next week,
and maybe we'll be more like a dog on a leash or a pig in a pen. And with that, we out.
Wait. I lost it. Full throttle to the bottle and full clout.
And I'm out!
Can't you hear your mama? We'll be right back. Well, all right. Starchild, citizens of the universe, recording angels, we have returned to claim the pyramids. Partying on the mothership, I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D. Light year groove. Well, all right. You hear the noise? There ain't nobody but me and the boy. Get down. Hit it, fellas. Out here. Put a glide in your stride and a dip in your hip and come on to the mothership. Loose boot, doing the bump. Hustle on over here. This far. Mothership connection. Home of the P-Funk, the bomb. Put on my sunglasses here so I can see what I'm doing. I bring forth to you the good time on the mothership. Are you here? Say, fellas. Nobody but me and the boys.
Me and the boys. Hit the bank. We gotta hit the bank.
Hit the bank.
Give your
out here doing it in 3D. So good is good to me.
ahead of our time.